You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with Rick Franzi and Doug Aveller.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show on OrangeCountyTalkRadio.net. This is your host today, Rick Franzi, and I have the pleasure of being the host for today's show as well as tomorrow. Yesterday, my business partner, Doug Gefeller, was able to amply hosting the show, and hopefully you had a chance to listen to yesterday's show. If not, go out and find it on one of the many various podcasting sites where our archives of all the shows that we've been doing since the beginning of the year are hosted. This is the 64th installment of Critical Mass. Woohoo! And today I'm excited to have Craig Carter of Lux Travel Management Company. We'll be talking to Craig here shortly. And ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a very great opportunity to listen to Craig, because I've known Craig for a couple years now, and I'm very impressed with his business acumen and really excited to get into the meat of the interview that we're going to be having here shortly with Craig. He's our 96th guest on Critical Mass, the radio show. Our goal with the show is to help business owners and top executives make better, more informed decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders throughout Orange County, around the world, actually, internationally, who have what we call transferable knowledge and ideas. Our radio show is truly an extension of our 15-year business practice, where we build executive forums for top executives here in Orange County, California. We do that part of our business under the brand name Renaissance Executive Forums, and Renaissance Executive Forums is an international CEO peer group organization with over 1,000 members throughout North America, Central America, and South America. You know, we offer a differentiated experience for our executives, business owners, members, because our research shows that 80% of the business issues and opportunities that a top executive faces are common with those of other top executives who are leading similarly sized firms. Recently, my book, Critical Mass, has been called the definitive guide to the CEO peer group experience. If you're interested, it's available for sale on Amazon.com. And if you're listening to this radio broadcast live or possibly at a later date on a podcast and you're thinking, geez, I would like to learn more about the Critical Mass for Business that Doug Gefeller and Rick Franzi lead, then check out our website of the same name, Critical Mass for Business. That's Critical Mass for F-O-R Business. There you'll see information on a variety of different services. And when Craig and I are finished with our interview during this hour, I'm going to be talking about a new service offering that Doug and I have launched, and one that I think you might be interested in hearing a little bit more about. But let's hold that until later in the show. As I said, our guest today, our 96th guest on Critical Mass, is Craig Carter of Lux Travel Management Company. And Lux Travel Group brings together a team of specialized and independent travel experts who've been highly successful in their area of unique travel expertise, but share a common enthusiasm for the world of travel and a shared excitement when it comes to keeping our clients satisfied. That's the mission and part of the positioning that Lux has in the Lux Travel Group. And so, without any further ado, I'd like to bring on our guest today, Craig Carter. Craig, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine, Rick. And how are you doing?
I am great. Thank you very much. Let's get right into it. And Craig, let's spend a few minutes by having you tell our audience about your path to your firm.
Well, the path to my firm started in 1991 when I became a sales manager for American Airlines and worked my way through the various ranks and other positions with the company. And that was a great training ground for me because it gave me a good exposure to the senior officers in the company that helped me prepare and know what it takes to understand the dynamics of travel in a very competitive marketplace.
And I'm sure you have quite a number of stories from that experience, because you had a long and storied career within the travel industry. When you decided to leave, can you briefly describe what position you held before you decided to go out and do this as a business owner and top executive?
Well, my last assignment was managing the sales department in Southern California, and a sales team. And from that, and that ended around 2003. And there was a kind of a real big shift in the way the airlines were beginning to manage their agency and corporate partners. And I saw some opportunities that maybe some medium to small and even some larger type agencies could use, and there was a void out there as a result of the changes in the marketplace. So I left American in 2003 from that last assignment and decided to venture on my own and start a company where I thought I could help other travel agencies and to use one of your terms, create critical mass.
Well, let's spend a thank you for that. That's a good term. Let's spend a minute or let's a couple minutes, Craig, and really talk about your firm. Doug and I enjoy highlighting companies on Critical Mass, the radio show, that are able to differentiate their product or services, because Doug and I emphatically believe that regardless of what stage or size a business owner's company is or is in, differentiation is key to survival and growth. And so let's because I believe you have found a differentiated model in how you deliver your services and what you offer. So can you tell the audience a bit more about your firm?
Yeah, what makes us a little bit unique is that we really leverage technology, and it helps to really keep our costs down vis-a-vis some of our competitors in the business. We take our preferred relationships that we have with our suppliers, vis-a-vis airline, hotel, and car companies, and we try to make sure that the companies that we manage or we acquire have that ability to interact with those preferred vendors that may not, because of their relative size, have that ability to do so in today's market, as the airlines and the hotel car companies are constantly cutting back their resources to be able to manage types of corporations where once, if you were a $10 million agency, you got the best of the best that's out there. Now it's almost a $40 million agency out in the marketplace that's going to have that type of connection to an airline or the connection to a hotel or a car or a hotel company. So what we do is through our partners and our branch offices, we create our own critical mass. And an office that may have been relatively small somewhere in, let's just say, Woodland Hills, California, where airlines are not really much interested in going out into the valley too much anymore, something to that effect. Because they're part of our organization, we've either acquired or they're a branch affiliate of some sort, they have that connection that allows them to get the best of the best of what's out there with preferred suppliers out in the marketplace in today's world.
So as you're explaining part of Lux Travel, I'm understanding in your industry, scale and size is important. And as many of us who are consumers, you know, relative to the airline travel industry or have recognized, that's an industry that's been under tremendous financial stress for quite a number of years, which is probably why a $10 million travel agent now needs to be $40 million to even get the kind of resources, because one would imagine that the airline and the travel industry has had to find ways to cut back on their expenses in order to survive. So you're really bringing kind of, it sounds like your firm is bringing scale and the advantages of size to many agents across the country. Is that accurate, Craig?
That's absolutely accurate. And one of the other areas is, for example, even human resources and benefit programs and stuff like that, where that cost keeps escalating sometimes as much as 10% a year for some agencies and small businesses. We can aggregate all that, and we put kind of like a little miniature PEO program or something where we will manage all the health and benefit programs for a particular agency, hopefully, and 9 times out of 10, we're reducing their costs in a way that makes them more competitive to attract top talent to keep them in business. And so we aggregate these things and help us to offer these, and we pass these economies of scale down to our particular agency partners.
Wow. So it's not just the customer-facing services, but you're actually inside the operations of the business helping to bring the advantage of scale and size to lower their operating costs within the agency itself. So that's a significant and strategic partnership that you're talking about relative to the service you provide within your space.
Without question, because it even goes into the accounting right now, where that piece of business is kind of very detailed in what we do, more so, I think, than a lot of other industries, because you have ticket sales, and then you have commissions you have to report, and you have various other aspects of your business where you need almost a CPA on staff all the time to make sure that your accounting is absolutely perfect. And we also work with our agency partners and affiliates to help manage that aspect of their business as well.
Interesting. You know, we're gonna come back to some other questions about your business model as it relates to the travel industry and your experience having been a senior executive with American and then being an entrepreneur here for the past 6 years. So we're going to come back to a lot of those kind of things. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, Craig, of all the business experience that you've had, is there a key lesson learned or a guiding principle that you might use in how you lead and manage your firm today?
There's one word I like to use a lot of, and that's transparency, and making sure that everything that we do with regard to helping another agency grow their business, that how money flows, how we manage, what we do, we are completely transparent in how we operate. And it really does make everybody feel very comfortable that they're working with a partner that is so objective in making sure that our whole business model is to make them grow. And we use various other forms of data to help them prove what we're doing. So the transparency by which we work makes our partners and our other offices feel very comfortable with how we manage them.
Can you think back to a time, and I think that's to be applauded, because again, when you're a strategic partner, that level of trust has to be kind of guaranteed, because without transparency and trust, I don't imagine you could really have a strategic partnership, because you'd always be questioning that other person's or firm's motives or something. So I'm wondering, though, predating maybe your current firm or previous firm, can you think of a time when transparency, when you observed a transaction that wasn't transparent, and kind of give us the benefit of seeing it from the other side as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's look today's market where someone's flying, let's say, LAX to JFK, they're flying coach class, and they may not be a frequent flyer. If you're getting on that plane or you're purchasing a ticket either through the internet or through some other means, and you may see that price on that internet, and it's a great price, for goodness gracious, $200 to fly to New York. But all of a sudden, you're getting ready to purchase that ticket, and up pumps your baggage fees or your food fees or whatever fees at the airline. So there's lack of transparency in a lot of that. And what we aim to do in terms of our pricing model is making sure that everybody sees everything firsthand. With our agency, we're always making sure with all our partners that those pricing mechanisms that are out there in the marketplace are completely transparent to the customer, and the customer always knows what they're paying for, and they know in advance that there's going to be additional fees if they're going to be boarding a plane, for example, to New York, that if they have to pay $30 for a bag fee, that particular knowledge is before them before they even travel. But that's, in today's world, this is where we're at right now, because fees are everything.
As you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, and it sort of reminds me of the banking industry, although we're not going to talk about the banking industry and how industries have had to change where their revenue and sources of revenue are coming from. They're called fees, but they're really revenue opportunities. But, I guess in the turbulent times that are still the airline industry, and the airline industry has been in turbulent times, I don't even know how long, but I would hazard to say all of this century, since the year 2000, 1999, the airline industry still is struggling to find an industry-wide business model that generates profits on a reliable basis. But in that, an entrepreneur such as yourself has an opportunity, or maybe there is an opportunity. So could you explain your business model as it relates to the current environment in the travel industry, and how are you choosing to capitalize on this to create a successful firm such as you have today?
Well, our managing, like I said, the relationships is important in helping those smaller agencies in this environment grow. Our model helps the medium-sized agency continue to operate in this business? Now, if let's just say someone wanted to start an agency or become an independent, we then help either brand them, make them unique in the marketplace that whatever their specific skill sets lend them to. For example, we just took on a particular a group of business that is very unique to travel in and out of the Middle East. And so we are helping to manage that particular business. It's a relatively new model. They spent quite a bit of time in Dubai and Abu Dhabi seeking relationships, working with various partners there, but they needed someone to help fulfill and manage that business that they were able to bring in. And that's what we were able to do, and we were able to help brand them uniquely that is specific to their business for even traffic originating in that particular part of the Middle East. So you know, what they weren't able to have in terms of a complete package to their customers was the accounting and the specific agents that are knowledgeable that may speak Arabic of some sort. We have that ability to offer that to their customers. So in essence, they were out there out selling, and we became the operational arm of that particular company.
Yeah, that's as you're answering that, I'm thinking you're truly even a small business or a startup in the travel airline travel industry may need to have a global sensibility because now the world is so interconnected and people are traveling the world and may need resources and the ability to access to resources and skills that many small businesses just can't scale to and can't afford. So your global footprint and capability really augments that for a lot of fellow entrepreneurs in your industry.
Oh, and for example, in the entertainment business, where we do a lot of travel as well, they have specific contracts negotiated with the governments if they're doing a shoot. Let's just say they're shooting in London or something. All the traffic that they book in terms of travel has to be supplied, furnished in London. So having an office in London or having a partner in London helps our customer here in the United States continue to hold on to that business, and they don't lose that business because they don't have an office in London or a partner in London that they can work with. So, you know, again, having a global reach is vitally important to a lot of people who are in travel today because of various types of business they're in. Like I just mentioned, the entertainment industry is one example.
You know, you got me excited as well earlier in the interview when you mentioned that you are using technology to differentiate in your space. And my view, which I've said on this show in the past, is that technology can be the great equalizer. On a business setting, it can make small and mid-sized companies technology properly and intelligently deployed, can give them the feel and look and the ability and capability of much larger firms at a lower cost. So to hear that you're bringing technology into your industry and using that to differentiate, I think is exactly something that you should be applauded for. And kind of, you know, maybe a little bit later here in the interview, I want to talk about that. You know, you were a long-term airline industry executive. As you mentioned earlier, it culminated with a senior position in American Airlines. Can you help to explain to our audience, because there may be people listening to this live or in podcast that are in that corporate world who have an entrepreneurial bug, but, you know, what was it like to transition from a corporate life to an entrepreneurial environment, you know, and how's that gone for you over the past 6 years?
Tell you one thing, it was kind of scary at first because I had a very rewarding and fulfilling job at American Airlines, and I really did appreciate working with all my colleagues on an everyday basis. Setting out there, and then that first day when you're sitting in your desk and you're thinking about, okay, what next? That was quite an awakening that very first day because, you know, it's all on you now because everything that I did before, I had a team of people working for me at American, and now I had just myself. Before, I didn't have a lot of people working for me when I first started this particular company. But it was a lot of it was just maintaining my relationships, and everything that I did was I would never say leveraging relationships because you don't have to do that if they're very good relationships. But I had a lot of people behind me in the service industry, whether it be hotel, car, or airline, that were helping me to succeed. And I had a good partner who was there and instrumental in making sure that what I did in mentoring me along the way. And I can't tell you how much having a mentor in this industry as you go to be an entrepreneur is vitally important to your success. Because if you got someone who there has been doing this or having done that before, it was actually very critical to my success.
Well, that's interesting because, as you know, in addition to the radio show, Doug and I built CEO peer groups for business owners in Orange County, and mentoring and coaching is a large aspect of the value that our members get from that. And so to hear you say how invaluable it was, you know, leaving the corporate world and getting into the entrepreneurial world, having a mentor was important to you. You'd also mentioned to me during one of our meetings when we were together that, and I hope you don't mind me saying this on the air, but from your perspective today, your airline job was, you know, the best part-time job you ever had. Would you mind talking about that a little bit on the show right now? Kind of already asked you, so the horse is already out of the barn, but...
Well, at the time, you're working your proverbial tail off every day, but what I've soon realized that what was common is an entrepreneur is that 12, 15, 16, and 20-hour days were the norm. I can remember telling my wife, I said to her, I'm going to work for probably the next 2 years some awful hours, and I'm going to have to work some very, very long days, and just bear with me. Well, here I am year six, and it's still going there, but what makes it a lot of fun is my enthusiasm and my commitment and my passion to this industry. Being an entrepreneur and owning your own business, you really have to be able to have that mentality that it takes to want to have and that drive that it takes to want to continue to working, because the days just go by so fast. You don't even realize that you get to work at 8:30 or something to that effect, and you don't realize it's 8:00 at night all of a sudden. And with time changes in various countries and stuff, I have a conference call at 4, maybe at 8:00 in the morning when it's 4 p.m. in London, and I have to follow up again, or I may be in London and I have to follow up, or the time changes really impact us. But you're constantly working because there are no time boundaries anymore.
That's true, because you're in a global industry with the opportunity to probably work around the clock. You could probably always find someone to send an email to or make a phone call to, and probably 7 days a week if you needed to or wanted to. Not that people want to work 7 days a week, but when you're starting and growing a business, it takes a great deal of time. I'm sure you've seen other peers of yours who were at equal levels or relatively equal levels in the travel industry on the corporate side who have gone out on their own and maybe haven't succeeded in that transition. Have you seen that? And as you reflect back on your 6 years of success, can you spend just a minute with that? Maybe why you believe you've been able to be successful and maybe others who have tried haven't been as successful?
Well, in leaving corporate America to be an entrepreneur, it takes the ability to really understand what your limitations are. And I found out quickly what I did well and what I didn't do well. And what I didn't do well, I made sure I could get and bring people along that were either experts in that particular part of the business that I needed support in, and bring them along and help them to help me. And I brought in some very, very fortunate to bring in a lot of good people. I think what a lot of people don't realize is the amount of dedication that it really takes when you leave and you begin to become the owner of a business, and what it really takes. That it's not 9-to-5 anymore. It's you're, like I said earlier, you're working around the clock and you're working weekends. Your cell phone never gets turned off, and your availability is a key to your success. I mean, it takes, you got the emails coming through, the various forms of the way we communicate, and being readily available to everybody and using every form of communication tool to make sure that what we do, because of this industry that we work in travel, we work in such a sense of urgency. You got people traveling all over the world. I've got three key people of my team right now, or two key people of my team in Australia, and I have to be available to them, and it's already tomorrow there, but they're going to need information from me real quickly and to help them do their job. So moving from corporate America to business entrepreneurship or of that sort, you really have to have that sense of dedication to it. And that's why, I've seen a few people and my peers who have tried it, and some have done very well. But for the majority part, it's a small number, I can tell you that much.
Having been in the corporate world for a number of years and striking it out on my own, I can fully appreciate that first day when, you know, you're used to having the phone ring and the emails happen and the staff come in to help set your calendar and your priorities. And then it takes a little bit of time to regain that momentum and energy when you start your own business. So thank you, because a lot of our listening audience, being top executives and executives here in Orange County, have had some corporate experience, and some are on the verge of or have recently left the corporate world. So to hear from a six-year veteran of that is inspiring, and someone who's been obviously able to be as successful as you are now is truly, you know, as I said, an inspiration. You know, you're in a – okay. Your firm is the first new travel agency to open in Orange County when we talked since, I think you said, 1996. I mean, it's staggering that what has happened to the travel industry in this area of this segment of the industry. So, I mean, I guess I'd like to get your perspective on the state of the travel agency, travel industry, and if you could talk a little bit about that for our audience, I would appreciate it, Craig.
Well, for the most part, what you've seen since 1996 is a lot of agencies close their doors. And again, it's just because of the way the suppliers are doing business, and it's changed dramatically. Either they haven't kept up with technology to a large degree, or have just chose to do business or keep the relative way in which they operate the same, and you can't. It is kind of unique that there hasn't been a new agency open. There's been mergers, and there's been a lot of transition or takeovers. But in terms of a pure new agency opening in Orange County, this office opened its doors last November of 2008, and still here going strong. This is the corporate headquarters for Lux Travel Management. And it was something to really to think about, because I think I can remember the last agency that did open. And that agency is still a viable agency in today's market. That particular person is doing very well in her own right, and has kept up with a lot of the changes that have happened. I mean, we've gone from where the airlines were paying commissions to there's no commissions anymore. You were making, regardless of that particular airline ticket, you were making 10% commission on it. Well, those days are gone. So you've got to figure out how you're going to make yourself viable and profitable in this world. And so that's why in today's market, over the last 13 years, I venture to say that there's probably just been a handful of agencies across the country. Well, more than a handful, but very few new agencies are opening up in the marketplace today.
Right. So people that are out there, we kind of have a theme here about corporate to entrepreneurs. And so, there are times when people might look at an industry and go, why would you open up a new travel agency when the financial incentives and the commissioning system have been changed so dramatically by, the industry? It's harder and different. And if anything, the failure rates are going up, and people are, the history of that industry would appear to an outsider to be unattractive. But here you are forging forward into it and creating a differentiated business model that is growing and is successful. So I think one of those transferable learning events for our listening audience is, regardless of the industry, there is the opportunity to take and capitalize on that change. And that clearly, Craig, sounds to me like what you've been doing successfully with your current firm. Is that a fair and accurate appraisal?
Oh, absolutely. And to take it just a step further, in this world that we're working in, the environment that we're in today, we've really taken the word partnerships to another level too, because you know, you may have an agency owner who, or any business owner who may, you know, have 100% equity in their company or something like that. But if they really want to be successful, they're going to have to take on strategic partners. And that's one thing we've done as well, making sure that we've got very viable strategic partners that are helping us in areas where it will make us stronger and beneficial. And a lot of people in business, you know, don't want to take that risk, from what I've seen. But I think a lot of people right now are, at least if they want to stay in the travel industry, they understand the word partnerships. And it's not unlike what the airlines are doing with their alliances. If you look at the One World Alliance or the Star Alliance, you have a American Airlines who's partnering with JAL or you know, British Airways in their alliance. So you know, those particular airlines also understand the term critical mass, because it gives them that breadth of service. We're the same way. We're partnering with other agencies, and we're going through acquisitions and stuff like that in mergers, because we believe that it's going to make us more viable and keep up with the airlines as they continue to partner with other airlines to make them more strategically, I think, competitive in this marketplace.
So from a consumer perspective, and what type of traveler is your type of traveler? Who does business and works with and finds the value and differentiation important for the travel services that your firm offers, Craig?
Good question. And a lot of our offices are very segmented or relegated to specific industries. We may have an office that does nothing but cater to the pharmaceutical industry or the biotech industry or entertainment. So our customers are, you know, from a leisure to corporate to a specific industry. We have offices that are just solely doing leisure travel, even to a specific destination, if you will. So therefore, we're experts in that particular area of the world. You know, you've got the World Cup coming up here soon. So we've got a lot of experts on South Africa and basically knowing the ins and outs of that particular part of the country is where we're getting a lot of calls in lately from the leisure perspective. So our customers are the full gamut of corporations that that our offices support relative to their type of industries.
The travel industry and has been faced with the rise of online booking sites and somewhat of a technology encroaching on the traditional model. From your perspective, because you're talking, I'm hearing a very strong service element to your value proposition in the marketplace, versus maybe an online service that doesn't have any real service aspect to it. It's just maybe finding price or believing that you're finding a lower price. Can you talk a little bit about how your firm is different than maybe what people hear when they think of an online service or some type of a booking arrangement like that?
Well, when online booking engines became more prevalent in the late 1990s, early 2000s, the airlines were really dumping a lot of inventory. And so it was very entertaining that you would call a travel agent and they would give you a price and they would book it in their computer. And sometimes that price was cheaper on the internet because they were dumping inventory. Those days have long gone. Now that if you've flown an airplane lately, you know that for the most part, even out of Southern California, the loads on most airplanes are at 90% originating out of Southern California. But what's most interesting is that there's been a lot of independent research lately, and a company called Topaz does a lot of this, and found that your travel agent, a sophisticated travel agent who understands how to work the GDS, is more intuitive in booking travel at a cheaper price on the internet 95% of the time. And those are some independent research studies that have been going on, I think, for the past 5 years that continually prove that particular thesis, in that your agent understands, for example, if you're going to go to, we'll go back to LAX JFK, You know, you can take the nonstop. You can take a connection. You can take it on American, but maybe come back on United. That's where the intuitiveness of an agent who is skilled in what they do can help not only find you a better time, a better flight, but a better price. And that's a lot about service. And they're there for you. Let's say you have a situation where there's a major weather going on in Chicago. You know, most of our agents, if not, we're available to our customers 24/7. So they're calling our agency and our after-hour service and getting support to get them on that next flight because, A, that could have been canceled or they needed to rebook. Just a myriad of things that could be happening to that particular passenger in a situation where an airport is experiencing severe weather. Again, that's where the benefit of our service helps that traveler get to where they want to go, not only efficiently, but in terms of economically speaking as well.
You know, it's a complex business making travel arrangements, especially involve multi-location, intricate business travel arrangements or an extended personal vacation kind of trip. And I can see as you're answering that question and talking how having a partner who understands that can actually, in the long run, make the actual real cost lower than if someone tries to build an itinerary themselves because of the lack of knowledge, like you're saying, about the flexibility and not gaming the system, but understanding the way the system is built and then using that knowledge to help a client get total cost lower, real cost lower.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is no, it's just what we see in our what's called the global distribution system, the GDS, it's just various ways in which we can create an itinerary. I mean, if you're going to go to Europe or Australia or South America of some sort, you want someone who understands the various pricing mechanisms to make sure that you're going to get there the most cost-effective way possible. And even in a business class setting, there's so many different types of fares, even from a business class perspective, that you want to make sure that you're getting that particular fare that's available to you. The GDS is the most purest form of distribution of a product that you'll ever see. It's like going to your neighborhood grocery store and seeing every type of bread that's made. Well, in just mere seconds, we can see every type of bread that's made and give you the price of that bread in just seconds and quote you a price and then review that price to make sure that our, you know, the various robotics that we have in place is the best price that's being offered at that particular moment in time in which you're booking.
It's amazing. Having information, having a lot of data sounds good, but if you don't have the ability to turn that data into information such that you can make decisions on it, sometimes is actually worse off because you make decisions based on misinterpretation of the information. And I'm excited because having known you for as long as I've known you and watched you operate within your sector of the travel industry, I'm really intrigued that you've been able to grow and help other entrepreneurs survive and grow and adapt to a radically changing business climate. And to me, that speaks volumes to your ability to create something that's larger than the firm was when maybe you had even envisioned, you know, leaving American Airlines and starting this business. So I'm not going to ask you to give away private company information, but relatively speaking, Craig, are you comfortable at least giving the audience a sense for the scale of your business today through your partnerships?
Well, right now in today's world, if we were to, if I aggregate all the various revenues that we book on a annual basis, we're tabbing over $300 million right now in total sales. And, that's where that particular volume works in our benefit in helping us with our preferred partners that make sure that we can do our best to get the best that's out there. And my job is to make sure that our agency partners and our offices around the country really have the tools that makes them to succeed. And that type of volume really does help us get what we need to be a success.
That's staggering. That is so many transactions and so much. I mean, that is a huge revenue number, and I appreciate you wanting us to share that with our audience. Craig, is there anything else about you or Lux Travel Management that I have not thought to ask you or that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to say?
I got to believe you're pretty in-depth on this one. I mean, we've talked a lot about my business and the goals for the future, you know, and taking on strategic partners before. But if anybody wants to learn more about me, that we you can always go on our website at www.luxtm.com, and there's a lot of information that people can learn about the company. And if anybody's out there that wants to learn more about travel, you know, one of the things about our industry that is unique is, you know, well, is changing. There's not a lot of young people getting in our business. And what we're trying to do is lower that average age. I mean, if you walk into your typical travel agency, the average age of that age, you know, person working in there may be 50, 55 years old. We're trying to get more people who are enthusiastic about travel. The younger kids coming out of college, we're helping to mentor them along to get them to understand it. And that's the difficult part of our business right now, is getting a lot of young, talented, and really enthusiastic people to join this industry. And that's where we're at, and there's been a lot of publications about it, but I think we're doing a good job in that as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, because when they're in college or immediately out of college, they have a choice on what industry and how to create a career, and some of it may be the perception of the industry and the lack of a good feeling about the long-term career opportunities within an industry. And clearly, I think from interviews like this, from opportunities to talk with you, from seeing how entrepreneurs can reinvent an industry and sectors of an industry if they have the right attitude, I applaud what you're doing, because that's wise to be looking at the need to keep bringing in the next wave of, you know, entrepreneurs or executives into your industry. So that's bigger certainly than anything that we've talked about. And again, I think for all people out there, all business owners and top executives, that's another transferable learning event, is to be, for the health of your industry and your sector, be looking at who's coming into it and how do you keep building bench strength, as it were, for the future. So, you know, your firm, Travel Management Company, and that's really a very good description, for my sense, for the differentiation and the value that your firm is bringing to your part of the travel industry. And so, you know, on behalf of Doug, who's met with you but isn't here today, I'm doing the interview. Craig, I really want to thank you for taking the time to prepare for this interview and then giving of your time here today to be interviewed on Critical Mass, the radio show.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's been a great pleasure, and as you can probably notice, I still have a lot of passion for this industry, so anytime you want to talk to me, I'm more than willing, and hopefully we'll see each other soon.
Exactly, and your passion is contagious, and I applaud the results that you're getting in your industry. Keep up the fine work, and we will be in touch.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Okay, take care. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Craig Carter of Lux Travel Management Company, and I really knew that we would have a solid and strong interview with Craig today because of his passion and knowledge, and really the way he has, in my opinion, changed my perception on the travel industry and how a firm can be successful in travel management. Because until I got, and I, like I said, I've known Craig for a couple of years now, but until we really got into an understanding and got helped get, you know, the information together for this interview today, it really showed me that you know, sometimes looking from the outside in, you may have a misunderstanding or you don't see the opportunity. And here is an entrepreneur who has seen an opportunity and not only is creating a successful company for himself and the direct employees, but he's also extending that into the industry and helping other entrepreneurs to maintain and create viable growing firms in what many maybe perceive as a difficult or even dying industry, when in truth it's not the case. It's being reinvented. So
exciting, and I'm glad that we were able to spend a little extra time today on Critical Mass with Craig Carter of Lux Travel Management Company. And as I've said earlier in the show, all of our shows are available off of our radio show site, off of the radio station site, octalkradio.net. All of our shows are archived there, as well as the very popular Apple iTunes. And I would really encourage, if you're listening to this now, to tell two friends about this interview who may be feeling that their industry is under pressure or is changing and only changing for the worse. Here's an opportunity to see where there is, frankly, opportunity within maybe an industry that, you know, you just have to look for it. So Doug Gefeller, my business partner, and I lead CEO peer groups. You all know that. We've talked about that with you before on the radio show. Many of you who are listening are more than likely active members in one of our forum groups here in beautiful Orange County, California, or coaching clients of ours or coaching clients of Doug's, possibly some of our strategic planning clients are listening as well, because in addition to the CEO peer group experience that Doug and I lead, we also do other services for the community. And one of them that we are launching in 2010 by virtue of really having listening to our members, listening to our clients, is a customer advisory board business and service. And this is really something that Doug and I are very excited about and have been doing quite a lot of research into. And it really on the heels of what Craig talked about, which is transparency and partnerships. Doug and I have been able to secure some partnerships and relationships with people who have great knowledge and information in this area, and we're going to be bringing this into our market here in Orange County, California, as I said, with the start of the new year in 2010. And so I'm candidly very excited about it because as I have worked with Doug to really build the plan and does this make sense for our business and for our clients, the return on an investment around a customer advisory board system that's used strategically for companies, regardless of industry, regardless of size, regardless of whether they're regionally focused, nationally focused, or internationally focused, can be very huge. I am convinced, and the data when you do the research shows that those firms that strategically employ a customer advisory board and use it as a strategic planning tool traditionally outperform the market to a significant way, and the internal return on investment of the actual investment made to develop this and to put this into the marketplace, it's staggering. And so Doug and I are always looking to develop high value offerings for our clients and for others in our space. We really believe this opportunity that we'll be rolling out here in a not too distant future gives that to our members and to others who are interested. And so if you are considering or curious about what a customer advisory board can do for you or how it would work given your specific company size and industry, Doug and I are very interested in having a conversation with you. Where that leads is really open-ended, but we would be happy to share with you what we know and have learned and what our partners have learned and known from doing this for years in the industry. So I just think this is such a great thing to do. And given as companies begin to see new opportunities within their business, and hopefully as the economy continues to recover and companies start to see that recovery inside of their own client base and customer base, here is an opportunity to really re-engage and engage current customers and maybe future targeted customers in a way that can have significant positive results. So be listening for more, as they would say. Stay tuned for more details to Critical Mass, the radio show. And I'll be hosting the show again tomorrow.
I'm very excited about my guest tomorrow as well. I think it's it'll be our, 97th guest on Critical Mass, the radio show on octalkradio.net. And so until we talk tomorrow, this is Rick Franzi saying I hope all of your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to OC Talk Radio and Critical Mass.